What are we doing, Tony?
We're all in Dave Attell. That's what he gets for making a joke about me.
Are we good? I always wanted to be a ramp. Here it comes.
Last cigarette? Is that okay? Here's something you don't see much in L.A. A man like me laying on the street.
Welcome. Here we go.
And I'm not Tony Hall.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Are we really welcoming?
We're on. Yes.
Seems airy.
Airy?
Yeah, like this is like, I don't feel like it's sound checked enough. Like, I feel like it's, if I was going to record my vocals right now, I'd be like, turn my microphone up.
Huh. Okay.
That's studio.
Do you want
talk,
to introduce
Tony
our guest?
Hulk.
Headphones are for losers.
Yeah.
This is real talk. Right, guys?
That's right. Dave Attell is here.
Well,
Louis Katz is here.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for
having
me.
Thank you. Thanks for
having me. I think we should go by our, you know, our other names.
Guns and Roses.
This is Hawk and Wolf. I'd like you to meet Al and Walrus. Yeah. There you go. Is this the Marvel movie we've all been waiting on?
I know you don't podcast, but that's your fucking ticket right there.
I think so.
What's your superpower?
I can clear a playground. I don't know what it is. Something about me. It's in my special. Check it out. Guys, you know, here we are in this little house. I mean, let's face it, we all look like squatters. I mean, honestly, we don't belong here. Yeah, but thank you for having us on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Yeah, good. Excited. Special, man.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I really like
both
it.
Both of you.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, I caught yours, too. I only watched half of yours, but I'm joking. But yeah, you guys are really funny and gross.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
like
it.
Edgy. Am
yeah.
I right?
Is that what, oh yeah, the correct pronounce. Yeah, it was edgy.
Yeah.
I feel like you take it to a certain level and then pull it back a little bit where you're thinking, oh, it's going to go real bad. And then you like just.
For me?
Yeah. For
I'm
you.
An old man. So, you know, a lot of these, and by the way, he's a great joke writer and we both like fight this all the time of like, you know, how far can you push it? What does the audience want to hear? And it seems like every day, like, what's acceptable changes. So it is like a lot of work. It's also kind of frustrating when we're like, you know, that worked like, you know, 2 weeks ago. I mean, my earlier stuff is now considered hate speech. You know, I mean, it's that it's that brutal, you know. But what do you think of that, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's hard. Like, what you think is funny, you have to make weird strangers think it's funny. And it's cool because we're on the road, we go to his crowd. But then when we're working together in New York, it's just random tourists and they might not be into what we're into, you know?
Yeah, so. My crowd is great. You should definitely do a set in front of my crowd. They love jokes. They get it. They don't get all offended. They're really good.
Yeah. I did some shows in New York only one time so far in my career. And I remember being nervous because it's another coast and I don't know, because I talk about stuff where I'm like, I'm not sure if everyone's going to be understanding to it. Mm-hmm. In the first show I did, everybody thought it was really funny, except one girl in the front that was with all these other girls. And she was not only disgusted, but she was mad. And she was like a cute little girl. And it felt weird to be like, you know, listen, moron. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, you don't
know
what to do.
Yeah.
And I was still pretty new. So I just couldn't not do the rest of my set for her.
Yeah.
To understand why I was so offended. Like, what did I say that was so gross? It was like it was gay stuff.
She's the bad guy. How is she so homophobic? What's her problem?
Yeah, that's what it was. But I felt weird putting it on her because she was so cute. I was like, you're such a bad
person. Sounds like you're
person.
Not gay enough. You got to be gayer so you don't give a shit what a cute girl thinks.
I should have made out with a dude while I was up there, but nobody was available.
When things go bad, do what I do. Play to the wait staff, all right?
Right.
Yeah, find someone with a tray, play to that person.
But you're saying
screw the crowd.
You're saying there's stuff that you've done, and then like a few weeks later, it's like, because you pull back, you're saying, because of the times that are constantly changing.
It's just like what used to be like, you know, just rough and ready talk is now considered, you know, like, whoa, that's so offensive. But, you know, I get it. Like, jokes aren't like music. There's definitely like an expiration date on jokes. So, you know, whatever you're thinking now. And that's like when you do a special and these like jokes are like your little children, you put them out, like they're kind of like turtle eggs. And like they're kind of going into the sea, and not everyone's going to make it. Like a lot of them are not going to make it. But the ones that do, you're like, oh man, you can grow up to be a big turtle. But, you know, eventually you got to let it go, get the new material out there. It's a difficult process, but you know, that's what I guess being a comic is. You just got to keep turning.
It's got to be way more difficult for both you guys, because I notice your style is there's a joke every couple of seconds. Like, yeah. It's not like it's, a story with a punch.
We keep it moving.
Yeah, that's what we like. That's what I liked about him when I first met him, and that's what I try and do, trim the fat. And there's so much, a lot of comedy these days has so much fat on it. It's so much unnecessary bullshit.
I'm a walrus, basically. Yeah, I get the, you go do 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 do. And I'm like,
you're pacing.
I don't have that many jokes. I'm not that funny. I'm as funny as these guys, so I have to like.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. You both have like what it takes a comics years to get, which is like the comfortability on stage. Like you performed in front of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Not anybody can say that. There's only a couple of guys, especially in the comedy world now, which is the comedy boom is huge. People are just now doing amphitheaters and stadiums and stuff like that. You were doing that when you were a kid. So.
Yeah, I mean, but not comedy and not speaking. I had to go through the fire on that, especially just with my career, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're on camera now. Like, I want to just skate. I'm good at skating. Right. I don't want to talk.
It is way different talking about skating in front of thousands of people, is and it? Then wait, because I wasn't the guy that everyone came to see, but I was in the demo with this guy several times where there was a sea of people. And it's like, if you fall off, you're like, man, I got like eight other guys that are going to back me up. And skateboarding, you fall off. You don't always do great every ride. Mm-hmm. And even if you do great or you do bad, either one, it's like, it's not directly your fault. Like if you're doing stand up and you're on there with the mic by yourself,
it's only
and
your
it's
fault.
Not going well, yep. There's no like, can Tony jump in and like get it back up? Like, no, it's you. You're sinking, and there's no one that's going to help you. It's to me way more stressful.
You're being too kind to us, because is it different? Like when a joke fails, you know, it doesn't lead to like, you know, you have to go to a hospital and you got to, I mean, like you guys have a lot more stakes on a fail.
That's
than
why
a joke,
I got into
know?
Comedy older, because there's still the rush and the nerve wracking stress of it all, the pressure. But when I do bad, I say this to people. I've never gone to hospital when I've done bad. I just like sulk in my car on the way home and then find it hard to go to sleep because I think I'm a failure, but it's not as bad as hospital.
Yeah. I'm going to give you guys even more. It's rare to do a joke that doesn't land where you end up bleeding out of all holes. Yeah. And I think that's happened to both of you.
Not
both
every
on
hole.
And off the court.
Just a couple few of holes, them, right? But not everyone.
Okay, there you go.
We've done the, what is it, would you call it when your butt cheek lands and the rest of your body keeps going?
Oh, butt splitters are the worst.
Butt Ooh. Splitters?
Yeah, you guys have never had a butt splitter, right?
Well, I've stayed at a Red Roof Inn. We'll be right back.
How are you moving into 2024? Are you going full throttle?
I am.
You're always full throttle.
Thank you.
Electric e-bikes can help you go full throttle.
Yeah, these are awesome. They're really easy to set up. I pulled it out of the box. I don't like instructions. I just put it together and I burned off out of my backyard like a maniac. When it comes to e-bikes, I have had several. I have a bunch of them in the garage. And this one's quick. It's got a lot of gears, so it's really fast. I'm not a huge pedaler, but if you want to, you can do that. But when you put it in fourth and fifth gear, this thing hammers. It's easy, convenient. It folds away. It's a solid bike.
Anyone can ride? It's designed for a better mode of transportation for all riders, and durable features and accessories for added safety, convenience, and control. You can go up to 150 miles on one charge. That is seriously going the
distance.
Whoa! You haven't ridden 150 miles in your backyard?
I just did burnouts in the grass.
Okay, that's like a mile.
Yeah, it was about a mile.
So you can do that 150 more times before charging.
Yeah, I took my cat for a ride. He didn't like it.
Explore 2024 with electric e-bikes, the most accessible and adventurous e-bikes ever. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more, and be sure to mention that Hawks versus
It's Hawk versus Wolf, Tony.
Be sure to mention that
Hawk versus Wolf.
Like, apparently I can't say it. Apparently. Sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Yeah. I mean, is your hole messed up? Is it?
It's not that. It's just, it's kind of like the entire region just gets...
Jesus.
You know what I mean? It's not like some...
Go ahead.
Explain it.
I'm hard. Come on. Finish it. Tony, don't leave me hanging.
It's not the smoke, man. It's more like there's just this general pain.
Wow.
Okay.
But I had a friend.
Yeah.
I saw him do it at a demo, and I could tell it happened.
Yeah.
And he looks up at me, and he goes, I'm going to shit my pants. And he runs under the ramp.
Yeah.
And we didn't see him the rest of the day.
Did he soil the ramp?
No, but it just it feels like it, you immediately, yeah.
Okay. We've shit our pants in a demo. Both of us have. Have really? You ever shit your pants doing a show?
I mean,
shut up, Tony.
Well, have you?
It was a shart, but you know,
still counts. Okay, it wasn't like a whole dump or anything, but still counts.
Sure. It did. It did make it make me sort of ramp up my. Speed. My performance, where I was like, okay, here are the hard tricks, and I'm out of here.
Right. Wow. Are you trying to keep your cheeks closed while you're doing the tricks?
Great question.
No, it's just more like I gotta go clean this up. I gotta get out of here. And I don't want to stand too close to anyone on the deck.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. But yes. One time he fell, pooped his pants, sorry, sharted, and then we did doubles together where he had to go over me and I had to go over him. And then he told me after the demo that he had sharted, and I was like, wait, does that mean that you jumped over me with shit in your pants?
Yep, that's how COVID started.
That's true. That's what happened, you guys.
Did you guys ever leave a skid mark on the ramp? Because that would be really cool. Like, you know, this is my ramp.
Like a gang sign.
We've left blood marks for sure.
Yeah. I've left blood on ramps and then signed my name in the blood.
That is cool. So cool.
Fun, yeah.
That's cool.
That is weird. See, in comedy, you get to sign your name on the green room. That's right. We're really kind of like, you know, I really respect what you do.
And we're telling jokes in
for
a
sure.
microphone.
Yeah, so don't worry about it. You're doing everything right.
Yeah.
But I did have a few questions, especially for Tony, because you are an icon. So, like, what are the perks? Like, if you go to a Quicksilver, just like they let you right in.
A Quicksilver.
Yeah, like any place where they sell skater stuff.
Wait, you're saying they don't let you in when you go to Quicksilver?
No, they don't.
They call security.
It's an Amber Alert, I believe.
I don't think of being welcome to a skate shop the biggest perk of what I do.
No, but, I'm just saying, I was just trying to keep it light, but I mean, I assume there's other, you know, perks to it.
Restaurant reservations. That's really? The big perk.
These that's days, just being famous. Sure. I'm saying in the skater world.
Oh, in the skater world.
Like, do you get to bump other skaters? Like, because that's like we're in the comedy world. Like, if a bigger comic comes, like I was just at the comedy store. If a bigger comic came along, right. They would bump me. You know, they were going ahead of me.
There's no open skate demonstrations.
No open
like
mic skating.
A skate park, yeah. Right?
At a skate park. Well, so it's fun because you go to a skate park and you recognize and people get excited. But the flip side of that is they expect you to perform magic. Right then and there.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And you're at a skate park you've never been to. Uh-huh. It's not my kind of terrain or whatever. And it's just like, that guy sucks.
Dude. Yeah, I think he's like the video game.
I saw Tony Hawk. He wasn't that good.
Please, yeah. And you know what? They're right.
They do video game requests of stuff that, like the 900, really?
Yeah.
The trick that he invented. And he'll go to a place where there is no obstacle where you could perform the 900. Yes. And thousands of kids will yell 900. And when he doesn't do it, they'll be like, what? Why are you not doing a 900? He's like, because it's a 3-foot quarter pipe, and that's not how that works in the real world.
But the beauty of that in terms of when people are so kind of clueless of it, and I'm not saying the general population is, but there are plenty of people like, do 900. You could do a 540 on that little thing. They'd be like, he did it.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah. It's not
totally.
AI.
Yeah.
He really does it.
I spun around. He saw it. Yeah.
I've done demos before where I know he does a 540 in his first ride, and then I started to get pissed off about it because that's my last trick in my last ride.
Mm.
So I'm like, hey, man, don't do that.
Yeah, they put the
steps on you.
He did your closer.
And then
when
I
comedy
do
talk.
Average stuff, you've got to really celebrate like it was really heavy.
Yeah.
And then that way the crowd's like, whoa, this guy must be ripping because Tony loves him. It works a little bit.
It's so competitive, right? I mean, especially back in the day, it must have been crazy competitive.
I mean, it's I don't feel like each other, we're not like screw that guy or anything like that. I mean, a little bit with a couple of people here and there, like there's little wars or whatever. But most of the time, we want to be good. We want to all be good so that we
and
can.
We're
all like a part
definitely
of the team.
Feeding off each other.
Yeah,
yeah. It's more about like the art than it is.
It's
about
less catty, for sure, than comedy.
That's what's cool about the comedy, especially. I just did the special. Like so many comics, and I'm thanking them right now for helping me promote and support, and just like the fact that getting another comic to watch a special is difficult because we're all writing material, busy, all that kind of stuff. But when they watch it and they really like, you know, like, dude, I love those jokes. I mean, it means a lot to me. And to those who have helped me out, honestly, I can't thank you enough. So I assume with you guys, like, you know, the touring is also a big part of it, right? That's kind of the hardest part.
Nowhere near as much as you guys. But our touring
is on planes all the time, all over the world.
Well, I mean, there's tours on planes all the time, but then there's skateboarding is a smaller thing a lot of times where it's a tour bus with a bunch of you and you go from one little janky hotel to the other and you skate everything that's in its path. And those are, to me, it's like when you're a younger guy, those are the times where they're the best. But then when you get older, you don't want to be in a minivan with 20 people.
I'm third generation ramp tramp.
You love being on the road, right?
I think the road is the job, and getting out there in front of the crowd is the cake.
Yeah.
But I think he'll back me up on it. It's never been harder to be on the road than it is now. Flights cancel.
Right.
It's expensive. Hotels, all that kind of stuff has never been harder.
And there's no late night food. We want to eat after the show and everything. The whole world, like, or at least America, closes early since COVID, and now you can't go out anywhere. It kind of sucks.
Would you eat before a competition? Because I can't eat before going on stage. This guy loves to eat.
Very minimally.
Yeah.
Because then you shart, right? Then the sharting happens.
Yeah, all right.
It's just more, I just don't want to feel full.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan had a 12-ounce steak and two ginger ales before every game. And I tried that one time and it didn't work.
I can imagine, dude.
See, that's like me. I'm built like Jordan. I gotta
eat. This guy's got that kind of game face.
I have to eat before I can't. Like, I get low blood sugar. I can't remember the words. I gotta eat a
lot. I think at one, I actually ate a huge meal one time right before an X Games.
Yeah,
because we went out and we went to a pretty good restaurant, and the waiter recognized me, and they started sending food. And it was one of the first times we ever had that experience.
Oh, sorry, came.
That's okay. It happens all the time.
Sorry. I hope you can return this couch to IKEA. I apologize. Sorry about that. Continue. Sorry. Go ahead.
Shut the
vibe down there.
And then to creep it out more, I got my flip phone out.
Wow.
Wait, you got a flip phone?
Yeah, I do.
How the hell did you get that? Do you sell drugs? Where'd you get that?
Where did I get it? First of all, everybody off the grid has one. I thought this was a prepper podcast. I don't want the man. I don't want the balloons to know where I am.
Right.
Sorry, Tony.
Oh, no. My
so you're at a
story
hotel.
Was far less interesting than,
than you coming
you
coffee
ejaculating and showing us your flip phone. It was one of those first X Games. They just kept sending food. We were all excited because we haven't really had that experience before. And then I got to the ramp, and it was the warm-up for the finals. And I just felt heavy, and I kept locking up, and I kept squatting out of stuff. And I was like, oh, this is bad. And I ended up, like, doing really bad.
Wow. So did you find that waiter and fuck him up?
No, it was more like, oh, that's a lesson.
Yeah, yeah,
let's not do that ever again.
Do you feel like you're still getting better?
Oh, that's
In certain ways, it's hard to define. Like, I've learned new tricks, but they're just sort of this other style of skating that I never really explored.
Okay.
Ask me.
Do you feel like you're getting better?
No.
Okay. I'm with you on that one, buddy. Boom. I think I have a good question. So you started in the 70s when kids were allowed to just run wild.
Yes.
Everyone. So I was actually driving around. I forget where it was, but it was in one of these towns. And there was a kid on the skateboard with the helmet and all the things. And the mother was pushing them. And I was like, you must laugh your fucking ass off when you see this helicoptering of a thing that should be just fun and wild, right?
I don't, but only because I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And definitely we were left to our own devices. I was a child of the
70s.
So I was a latchkey kid. And it was just like, we found skateboards. We're just going everywhere in the neighborhood and skating whatever and getting in trouble. My first concussion was on the sidewalk. And I came home crying. My mom didn't know what happened. I didn't know what happened. I couldn't tell her what happened.
Right.
And I just started puking.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
But when we went to the skate park, the pads were mandatory.
Oh, really?
So I grew up in an era that you had to wear pads if you wanted to go skate the swimming pools and stuff. So I don't really think of it like that anymore, just because it was a means to an end.
Right.
It was always built into the culture.
It was built into the culture, And so I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I understand when parents are trying to encourage their kids, especially when they're starting out. I mean, you know, one false move and you get a.
Oh, I get it, but it's just funny
the thing that has changed now is that there is this parental support and sometimes parental pressure.
Yeah.
Where they're soccer moms and they're.
No way, really?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And some kids, like I've met a couple of kids that just quit skating because they just hated it because their parents were pushing them so hard.
Wow. It's like, this is the only thing that'll get you into college is skating.
Or whatever it is. Or it's like, you gotta keep practicing. Like, I mean, there's one kid skated vert. You know what I'm talking about, but this one kid was skating vert. He could almost do 900s. His parents were very pushy about what he was doing and how does he further his career. They would like ask me like, how do we get further? I'm like, you mean him?
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it because there's a lot of money in it, or they just think it's cool? They're like failed skaters and they wish the kids did
it? That's his path to success, and he quit.
Wow.
He confided in a friend, like, I hate skating because of what it means to my parents.
Those things are so interesting. There's like one, this golf pro is supposed to be like the new Tiger. Do you know about this guy? He was like supposed to be like the next big guy, and he was like winning everything, and then he just disappeared. He just said he didn't like it anymore. He just like stopped. I think it's so interesting with like those people like that.
It's
like,
because of the money. Parents get involved because they're like, this is a career that's going to get you money. It's going to get us money. We're going to no longer need to worry about money anymore, so I'm going to be there to drive you to get it. Like, I got kids, my kid snowboards and skates, and I've had people ask me, what do you do to help him get better? And I'm like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, if I know how I got good at skateboarding, I wanted it so much.
Yes,
I know how
that's right.
Yeah. So how'd you get good at comedy? Because I loved it so much that I couldn't stop thinking about it, I evolved into a great comedian. That's
people
how it
don't
happens
get that.
For everything.
Everybody wants it. You got to need it. You got to have to do it. That's how it is when you start out.
You've
got to
be obsessed with it. Yeah. Like, you can't stop thinking about it.
I expect your parents weren't like, you have to go be funny. Go be funny.
No.
I'm going to be like that with my
on
kid.
On that stage.
If my kid's not funny, I will beat him funny. I will this kid better be funny.
I like it. I have another question, which I think both of you could. Wait, so
you, is this your podcast?
No, well, I'm sorry. It's not only
you
to me.
He doesn't
have one. I'm sorry.
You said in your special, I'm the only comedian without a podcast. So maybe
so
this is your
me.
Chance to have a podcast.
Maybe I should spill something. But let me spill the beans on this one. Okay, here we go. So you guys are skateboarders. Now, do you get along with surfers? Because I figure like it's a different thing there. No?
Oh, no, we do, yeah.
Okay, sure. Because, like, in the comedy community, us and ventriloquists, it's a love-hate.
Yeah.
You know?
We're more, I think ventriloquists and comedians is more like skateboarding and boogie boarding.
It's like vampire lichen. You know, it's like during the day, ventriloquism. At night, we rule the world.
Right.
You know?
But our worlds don't collide that much.
What are rollerbladers? Those are your mortal enemies?
I mean, that was definitely a thing, especially
anymore,
in the 90s.
What about train surfers?
I'm saying like
train
there was
surfers.
Some, there was
train
animosity.
Surfers.
Those guys are cool.
I knew you were going to say that.
It was more that skating was in decline, and our style of skating, ramp skating was in decline, and then all of a sudden inline skating was on the rise.
Yeah.
And so that's what caused the animosity, because skaters were like, what the hell? Like, we're still here doing this, and now this is the thing. And that caused this weird... I feel like that has...
I was mad.
I was thankful because I got invited to some of those shows.
Oh, cool.
So it was like, it was the inline show. It was the rollerblade show featuring skateboarder Tony Hawk. I was like, I'm going to get paid to skate.
Nice.
That's cool.
We're cool.
I didn't get invited.
Give me my check.
He didn't get invited. That's why he's mad.
I had a skate shop that sponsored us, and then they stopped sponsoring me when I was like top 10 in the world, and then they sponsored rollerbladers, and then all the rollerbladers came to my home ramp. And it was just me, the only skateboarder with all these rollerbladers that were just too happy to be there.
Yeah.
And I was dark and broke and angry. And they were like, hey, man, are you having a good day? And I'm like, no. No, I'm actually having a bad day. And you're making it worse. And stop pretending that it's not stuck to your feet. Trying to grab onto it. Like, you know, why are you grabbing your boot? It's already stuck on there.
Wow.
I got spun up about it. You know what I mean?
Why wouldn't you?
I'm over it now. But
I'm upset.
Good. Thank you.
I'm on
you
your
would
side,
respect
dude.
This.
I'm on your side.
Yeah.
So in New York, where we live, you know, I live in New York. I've seen the skateboard used as a weapon.
Yeah.
I've seen it used to roll a joint.
Yep.
What other things can the Swiss Army knife do? I've seen it used as a ambulance for a squirrel. I've seen it as some guy pushes a squirrel.
Yeah, they love that.
But I did see one thing, and this is a true story. You know the motorized skateboards? You must hate those. Like, you know, like
I don't hate them.
Okay, but anyway.
I keep trying to get him to hate things. He doesn't hate them.
I know, you catch it.
I think that they are quietly inherently dangerous.
Oh, yes. Okay, well,
yes. I think
they
that people
are,
don't
they,
realize like that they're suddenly going 20 miles an hour and that can
there's
be really
in
dangerous
front of
them. To their
yeah.
health.
Okay, well, I saw like, I guess it was a longboard, but it was still motorized or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was like late at night, like a Friday night, like, you know, just like the bars are kind of close. And it was a dude with, I guess, his girl, and they're like hugging each other on this board, and it's like a Friday night hookup.
I just want him to
like,
slam.
Like, what a way to get home. Like, hey, you think this is weird. Wait till we get to my one-bedroom apartment with 9 roommates.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's no way that guy has money.
No.
He's taking her home on a skateboard.
Yeah, she's pretty stupid. The best thing about those and scooters is when they fall off. To me, I've laughed at a lot of comedy in my time, but I don't think I've laughed quite as hard as when I see a scooter guy eat shit, like as I'm driving by in my car.
Sure.
It brings so much joy, like really warms my soul.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like one of the...
My version is when I see people in New York on motorized skateboards, I fear for their lives.
Terrifying.
From traffic, not from their skill set.
Yeah.
But I've been on a skateboard not going as fast as they are and almost got hit by cars plenty of times there. Yeah. And to myself, I think, why am I sitting on the street?
That's why it's so cool what you do. You try and make skate parks accessible for, especially in these urban areas, like where they desperately need them. And as an old person walking, I would love for it. Like if there's an area where people could do that. That would be great. You know?
We're working on it.
It would be really good, man. Yeah. So keep it up. You're doing God's work.
Thank you very much.
He is.
And, you know, what I was going to say, like, you know, we're out on tour. Like the next spot for us, I don't know when does this come out? Oh, I'll be out of the business by then. So, Louis, what do you have going?
It was a great ride.
It was a fun ride.
You had a good run, yeah.
Well, I'll still be doing it. I'll be in Chicago.
Here's a retrospective of your career.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Let's look at some of my best fails.
Wait, you take breaks?
No, I can't take breaks.
You just keep going,
any
right?
breaks.
I got a mortgage and, I got too many bills for breaks. you know, people always go like, hey, when you go to the town, you know, you should check out. It's like, dude, I've done that like 10 years ago. I went to the museum.
He's got a mortgage and no life. So this all it is comedy, comedy.
I don't have a liquid death thing to fall back on, like you guys, you liquid death billionaires.
I saw the Joe Rogan Experience that you don't enjoy water.
Water is Joe is the coolest.
Cigarettes and coffee is like mainly what you digest.
He's a gremlin.
Yeah. Terrible.
And then you're on the road constantly, and you say you can't get food at night. So, what are the things that you do when you're on the road to amuse yourself besides drink coffee and smoke?
I was just saying, like, you know, now that I'm old, like just finding a place to eat, and we really put a lot of time into it.
Yeah.
We were in Philly, which is a great food town. Am I right?
Yes.
Help me out on that.
Yes.
And it was late. It was not even that late, but like we were looking and looking for a place to eat. And we had a comic with us who's he's a fat guy.
Right.
So I was like, if there is anything, he'll find it. I mean, we were using him like a bloodhound. Yeah. Like he'll sniff it out. Yeah. And he's wheezing, right. like walking through the streets. He's almost running out of food.
Yeah.
So we ended up at a Wawa. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Nah.
It's like a 7-Eleven.
But they make sandwiches.
Yeah. It's not bad. Like it's not good. It's not bad. It's not good. But everything in there is, I would say, better than like a bodega, correct?
Yes. Oh, that's good.
Well, there you go. Better than 7-Eleven, yeah.
Okay, it's a little bit better than 7-Eleven. You can't buy fentanyl there. That's the difference that I know. So.
Do you like healthy food?
No. During the day, I don't eat at all. That's what I only eat one meal a day. So
is it late at night after the show?
What's that? Yeah, that's like my pop.
And then
so if you have an all day.
It used to be Coke and booze. Now it's just like, oh, well, I'm eating a quesadilla. This is awesome.
But it's really only at night after the show.
No, well, during the day I'll have like some nuts and like a you know, like an apple or something like that. Is this the view? Honestly, I didn't expect. When you look like that, that's not the kind of question you ask somebody. That's like a prison hello. Do you eat during the day? Because you're gonna be sucking my gay. Stop trying to clean up, Tony. I got a little snack for you right here.
That's not what I meant.
Okay,
but thank you.
You're grooming Louie. That's what I thought.
I'm just trying to understand how you stay alive when you do comedy when you're older. I'm like right behind you in the old thing.
Dude, don't overthink it, for God's sakes. I mean, like, I think he'll back you up. You gotta like bomb a million times before you can bomb every other time. Like for us at least, there are some gifted comics out there who like I saw Chappelle when he was 15 doing comedy, and I was like, this guy's already figured it out. I mean, it's amazing. So there's some people who are gifted. Some of us, we just really just like, it's the journey, you know?
Yeah.
But do you have fun doing it?
I love it.
Then there you go. You're not going to stop.
Yeah, I love going even when I'm not going
out. That's cool.
I just like going. I go to the comedy store and just freak out on all the people that I know are crazy comedians up on stage all the time. I'm like, holy shit, that's Marc Maron.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Like, that's my week. I'm like, there he is. It's like when I was a kid and he'd come to Australia and I'd be like, holy shit, Tony Hawk's right there. And then if he looked my way, I'd be like, nope, fucking that's crazy. That's pretty much what's happening at the Comedy Store in my 50s, where I'm like, Marc Maron, and he looks my way and I go, oh.
So you guys have known each other for 40 years?
I've known
years?
Him longer than he's known me, but yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
True, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
There's a video of my parents filming me on top of a vert ramp where he came to do a demo and was in a contest, and for some weird reason they let anybody sign up and be in the contest. You just had to pay $20, I think it was, and I was up on the deck, and he's standing.
In my heat.
Yeah, in his heat, because they put, they didn't, and I don't care about doing anything in the contest. I'm just like, holy shit.
Wow.
He's right here. And at one point, I'm looking at him, and his head starts to go my way. And I'm like, and I look at my parent, like, I think my father's holding the camera. And I'm like,
really?
We have the video.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
He's right there.
What? That's all the pressure on you, though. Like, when you know, like, you have these younger guys looking at you and, like, trying to figure it out. And you're like, I'm still figuring it out, you know, like, because you're never really done with anything. So,
But he's the best with that. Like, out of all of us, like, obviously he has the biggest name. But when it comes to little guys and little girls skating and him talking to them, I've seen him put in the time where
that's
like,
great.
I wasn't at his level, and I'd be like, some kid be like, "Hey man, how do you do that?" I'm like, "Keep doing it, you know, like fuck off." And then he's and he's like, you know, like, oh, you know, if you do this, if you put your foot like this, and I'm like, this kid right now is saying to himself, "Holy shit, Tony Hawk has given me pointers." And then usually, like, I'll see him teach a kid a trick.
That's cool.
And then that kid has that for the rest of his life.
That's amazing.
To go on.
That's awesome. That's
and really, I've seen him do that hundreds of times.
I mean, I really do. That's the gift that I get to keep giving. And
nice.
Well, but it was hard for me to break out of my own discomfort, you know, as a kid, because I was awkward and an outcast. And then people are looking at me like, "What are you looking at me for? Like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to interact. I know how to skate." But I finally kind of figured it out.
This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Do you know what Squarespace is?
Yeah, it's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online.
It's true.
Yes. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. Squarespace has services like Squarespace Blueprint, AI, and SEO tools. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design setup, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device.
Squarespace offers flexible payments. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries. Offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay.
Squarespace also offers client invoicing. Easily manage your clients and invoices, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined, customizable workflow.
Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/hawk to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Because Skate Talk, that's the other, like, he can still do that for me. Like,
what'd you say?
Skate Talk, where he says things in a skate conversation where it's not about life advice, it's skateboard advice, but it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're like, "Hey man," he said things to me like, "I notice if you take it from this angle, it might work out different." And I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, I never would have thought of that. I'll try it." And then I'm like, "Hey, that was good advice." Or in Tampa, I got a little excited. And it was like a bunch of old guys skating, and we're all old, and I was pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost killed myself, and I got out on the deck next to him, and he goes, hey, slow down. And I knew exactly what that meant. Like, it wasn't go slower. It was like, you're about to kill yourself. Yeah. Like, pull back just a little bit.
I think it was
bit.
After you landed in the channel is when I thought, right. Well, it's got to take it down a notch.
Yeah, like, I should have bailed on this
there's
one
a, there's a gap in the ramp, and you go over it. It's not a big gap, but you want to clear it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to clear it, and he didn't give a fuck, and he just landed in the middle of it and survived it, and I was like, all right.
I was pumped, you know?
I mean, you guys have both done, like, some, do you call it tricks or stunts?
Tricks.
I mean, just like where if it went bad, you really, it would have been it, you know? Like,
but
parkour,
those are the ones I lived for.
I can imagine, but, like, you know, I see it in these parkour videos, but I'm like, I've seen these kind of earlier in the skate world when you guys would jump, like, buildings and all that kind of stuff, and I was, like, wondering if you could jump me.
Well, I could the most have been dangerous. Done that way.
I was going to say, what, in what context? I will happily ollie over you, sure.
Because I remember in New York, this is a long, long time ago, a guy jumped a garbage can on fire. And it was not a protest.
Yeah.
He had no political thing. It was just just like a what the fuck thing to do. Yeah, and I was like, man, that's the coolest. You know, and then
a skater.
Yeah, it was a skater, and he was just like a dude. You know, just wanted to do it, and he was panhandling for money, and we all threw money at him, and he did it a couple times. So,
Tyshawn ollied that Ferrari. You see that?
Yeah, like off the flat, right?
Off the flat. Yeah,
like, he ollied over some. Ramp, just ollied over a Ferrari. Wow.
That's what you call it, no ramp.
No ramp.
The long way or the wide way?
Like, because when you jumped over that can of fire, there was probably a ramp in front of it, right? Yeah.
A little kicker.
Yeah, this guy had it makes no a big kicker. Difference.
That's crazy.
If you do it off the flat ground, that's like an ollie. Yeah. And if you can ollie 3.5 feet, that's really impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or two comedians. Crazy.
Look at you. Like,
if you can ollie two comedians, it's super impressive. Let's go.
Yeah. We'd love it. We'd love to see that. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I just don't want to lie down on top of him. That's for after the show.
That'd be too high. That'd be too high for me.
That's
at this
how
point.
We decompress.
Are you guys coaching like the Olympics? Do you have anything to do with that? Or
not
coaching. No, I'm there. I am there on the invite of the IOC, so I'm just kind of there getting plugged into interviews and things like that. Oh, like, okay. I don't have a specific role, which is I'm thankful for.
Was it weird that what do you think about it being in the Olympics?
I think it's cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's gone past that now. There was a time where we were punk, and because we were not accepted, then we're not going to accept your exception. But now it's like, if we get in the Olympics, if Tony has a video game, if we get invited to do a TV show, it makes more people want to skate. And we know, you know, like, there's more chance of a kid getting into skateboarding and getting what we got.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't care how it gets out there, as long as it gets out there and makes kids go, maybe I should try skateboarding. Because what I got from it was... like life alt. I mean, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. Yeah.
I was never against it being the Olympics, though.
What is it? But it's judged, right? Like figure skating.
Should be the judges.
Yeah, who's the judges? If not,
no, I don't want that job at all.
Oh, that would be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it hard to judge? Like, who would the judges be? You know,
there are other skateboarders.
Okay,
they're not.
There are other skateboarders from other countries too, because it have, you know, there's all these rules in place. But the thing, I think the misperception about skating in the Olympics is that suddenly they are creating competition for our sport or our activity or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've been competing since I was 10 years old.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
There have been skateboard competitions all through. That was the only way to get recognized in our day.
Right.
That's the only way that you're going to get a sponsor, or get paid, or to be on the radar at all, you had to compete. So they're not reinventing the wheel. They did have to refine the judging criteria to fit within the, well, just so that there's something more obvious.
Sure.
Would it look more like a gymnastic thing, like freestyle and all that kind of, like, would it have those different layers to it?
No, I mean, in the park event, which is the bowls and the kind of pyramid stuff, it's very cut and dry. It's like trick selection, the use of the terrain, speed, height, consistency. If you fall, you're not going to make it.
But if you brought one of those ribbons, like, from the gymnastics, I think that would look really cool, you know?
You might get good scores from the gymnastics judges.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You guys must hate it. You put all this work into it, right? You're like, this is it, you know, like, you're putting your heart and soul in it. And then someone puts up a clip of a dog on a skateboard and they get a million billion hits.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, okay, good, because I watch that stuff.
Have you guys seen the turtle on the fingerboard?
No.
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah,
he That's rips. Amazing.
Yeah. That must blow that turtle's mind. Look how fast I'm going.
It chases a cat.
No way.
It
does.
Yeah. Because it gets on it and realizes it can start moving, and the cat's like, oh shit, and it comes after it.
And to the young kids at home, these are the things you watch when you can't drink anymore. Turtles, cats, parrots.
Hey, a little bit of entertainment. That's when you're waiting fantastic. In line for coffee.
Yeah. When did you quit drinking?
Oh, decades, a long, long time ago. And I'm glad I got out of it. I was...
Because you were really good at it, right?
It was part of my job, I guess. It was also part of my... I grew up in a place where everyone drank.
Yeah.
And drinking and driving was a sport, actually. So, but it's a generational thing. I would say in today's world of comedy, in terms of... Because it was also part of the comedy life. But I'd say in today's world, it's like, you got some parties, but it's mostly pot. You know, maybe a little something else, depending on what they do. And then you got, like, the gym guys. You know, the guys that, like... you know, boom, I got to put in my 2 hours. You know, these guys are like basically, you know, they're ready to go. So there's very few guys who cross over, but I would say that, you know, it's a different world of comedy for it. I mean, well, I lost a lot of friends, by the way, to drugs and alcohol. So
skateboarding, you know, has too, don't man. Let these,
well, oh, exactly.
It's like, you know, when you are just not as good as you were, and you, you know, a lot of
try
us
to fill
were,
that void.
Yeah, you try to fill the void, and then there's just there was an era like I was from where it was after the contest, you got shit faced. Like, yeah. And if you didn't, then you weren't a skateboarder.
Exactly.
And then, I mean, there was a point where if you weren't partying with that crew, you might get judged badly.
Yeah, you're the narc. Really?
He's speaking because, on experience.
Yeah, because the judges are like, that guy's not cool. He's not
really?
Down.
Yeah.
Damn. He wasn't out with us.
The way I saw it was like everybody.
So the judging has changed a little bit from then to the
Yeah,
Olympics.
Now, yeah.
Everybody that was a pro vert skater in the 80s was in Guns N' Roses. They just didn't know it.
Oh, okay.
It was like after the gig.
It must be wild, dude.
It was a wild time.
Yeah.
But then the level, because now there's people that, you know, trained. There's people that are physically fit and skateboard. We used to just be drunk, high, and then skateboard. And then there's a guy that's like kettlebell swinging, and I'm like, why? And it's like, because I'm getting my core strength going. And I'm like, core? Like, try sucking some bong rips. That'll get your core going. But then the level, then there's coaching. And I remember the first time I heard it, I belittled it. I was like, wait, who has a coach? Yeah. Like, this guy, I'm like, a coach for what? Like, go team, don't give up. And it's like, no, dude, like, teaching him a better line or a trick that he could add there. And I remember thinking in my mind, pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what a pussy.
Yeah.
And then I see the level from my era to this era, and I'm like, okay, maybe I should have got a kettlebell and a coach. Because they can do stuff now where I didn't think that a human could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And it keeps going.
Does it keep evolving? Is it like, are you guys impressed by the new tricks?
It's insane.
Really?
It really is. Like, the level of tricks that are being done now is stuff that we only imagined in video game form.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Or maybe like that's why they're doing it, because they've seen it in video games.
Some do. Yeah, that's true. Sure. That's absolutely true.
I noticed that with like music, because I see drummers that can play like that drum and bass kind of drum beat that I thought was only electric, but now they can do it on a drum set.
Right.
I think when people see it, they hear it and it's a machine doing it, they then just find a way to do it themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Wow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's the first time I came to America. I went back to Australia 10 times better because I just went and saw 25 people that could do stuff that I'd never seen in real life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And when I saw them do it, I was like, oh, that's how
possible.
You do that.
And also it just shows that it's possible.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Are you guys afraid of the AI? Because, like, let's face it.
Why would I?
Because AI will, like, they can make up fake videos. Like, look at this guy who's jumping in. Oh, you know,
there's a new guy out there that's not a new guy. He's an AI skateboarder.
No. Just, like, the whole idea of, like, they can, like, enhance tricks. Like, they'll have, like, a, like you said, like, you know, I want my son to be a great skateboarder. So you, like, AI has.
We have
like,
yet to experience that. I think
it's coming. Where's my flip phone?
Skating is the last in line for AI corruption.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Because eventually he's going to have to show up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a sad day for him. Or
maybe he'll always like be unavailable, let the price go up. That's how you do it.
We won't buy that ticket. We're going to need to see you in the flesh.
Okay, so I was telling Jason earlier.
Oh, this is excellent.
I think you used me in a joke at some point.
Did I?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. I know the joke.
That's true, right?
I know the joke, yeah.
Yeah.
Get the car running. Lily, they're skateboarders. We'll beat them. We'll get out.
No, I know the joke. I know
Someone
the joke.
Sent it to me, and I was hyped. Are you kidding me?
But no way. Tell Dave what you tell Dave that you don't.
Okay, it's something about you telling
I know the joke.
Joke.
It's like you take a shit and it ends up on the inside of the rim and you're like, yeah, I Tony Hawked it.
Right? I look down, you know what I see? Nothing. There's nothing in the bowl. What happened to my poopers? Guess where it was? Under the rim. Yeah. I Tony Hawked it. Yeah.
But I was thinking like, what? I think I get it.
It almost doesn't really
like,
make sense. Don't think about
it's
it too
a
much.
Pipe?
He's just saying he did a dookie trick because basically
or like
what
it
he's
went
saying.
Up the ball. Is that no, what it is?
I felt it was like something that like a skater could go on the outside of the ring. You know, like you guys have all those incredible moves.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
Don't hate me.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate when I meet the.
This is
I hate when I meet the subject of the joke.
I think it's amazing.
This is the most fun
God.
I've ever had on this podcast. You don't know what skateboarding is. Talking about Tony Hawk and a shit. And Tony Hawk going, if I was a shit in a ball, I wouldn't do this in a ball.
It was his last joke of the special.
Oh my god.
And then I was left like, wait, Is that a cup? I don't understand.
I'm so sorry.
What was it?
Please don't turn into a hawk.
I think it's amazing.
Dude, man, is fucking great.
You got it right, right? That was the joke.
You don't remember?
I guess I owe you money. Honestly. Yeah. That was the closing joke? Why that means that was the best joke I had.
Why do you think I invited you here?
Oh, damn it. It's a shakedown, Louis. It's a shakedown.
It's time to pay up.
It's time to pay the piper.
Yeah.
He's not getting out of here until there's a check written.
That is great. Man.
You should invent a trick that's called the Attell. Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah, I sit quietly until my adult diapers fall, and then I blame it on a stool.
It's when you shart in midair.
Yeah, you've already done it.
It's
mid setup.
Wait, we've both done it. I've done an Attell.
No, but I thought that was an homage to you. I apologize if you're saying it the wrong way.
I didn't think of it much as an insult as at all. It was more confusing to me.
A thousand pardons.
The best part was... comedian skateboarder, him telling me, he's like, yeah, he made a joke about me. I'm like, he did? And he goes, yeah, but I'm not really sure how it makes sense for the shit. And I'm like, oh, please ask him.
I need to see you two
understand the shit in the bowl joke.
I hate to say it, but we have to do it live. I'll do the joke like, hey, any requests? Oh, here's one from my old album. You love it. So I'm taking a shit and I hit the, and then you stand up and go, what does that mean? And then you slowly roll up on your board.
If I was a shit, that's not what I would do.
Can you break that down for me?
Yeah, I'm not laughing, okay? And then you get up there and totally de-ball me.
Because I've never scared a bowl. Yeah. I've never scared a bowl with a toilet lid around on the top.
I knew it.
It seems very challenging.
It was more of a haiku. I mean, it wasn't really about you. It wasn't really about the toilet.
It was more about the shit.
Global warming, people.
That's what it's about.
Wake up. Yeah. That is great, man. Thanks for bringing that up.
That was so much fun.
That must have really been a shock. You guys are on the tour bus passing a bong. No. Did you say my name?
That's me.
Every time I passed the bong, it was around Tony.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Through me.
Tony's oiling his board. You guys are doing massive bumps.
Doing kettlebell swings. Yeah. Joke's on you, Jason.
Tony's testing the winds. You guys are like, just like every hole, something's going in there. Ketamine eye drops.
Actually, I don't even know what this is, man. You're not far off with our summer
tours. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
He's got his Walkman on. You know,
game.
My wife calls it pre-demo depression.
Mm.
You get it before them?
What's that? Just before I'm skating, I just like...
No, but you're really focusing.
I'm focusing, but I'm also dreading it because I just feel like I'm not... I was just my worst critic, so I feel like I'm just not going to live up to what I think
every
I'm
time?
Capable of.
It's always
pretty much
that?
Every time,
wow.
Yeah. I let go of it a little bit, but there was a time when she's like, oh, here it is. Pre-demo depression.
How much before? Like, would it fuck up your whole day before?
Couple hours.
Okay, a couple hours.
Yeah, most of the day.
Right before big meets, you have like your agents and managers and everybody in the room and all that, like people like, hey, you know, this guy, he's a great guy, he's a big fan, that kind of thing.
What do you mean? People like meet and greet type of thing?
Yeah, I'm saying like before the match, it always seems in comedy, like for some reason, it's like everybody who wants to talk to you does it right before the show. And it's like, even though we're not Olympic divers or anything, it's like we do kind of need a moment. And the cool ones, like the management, they'll be like, we'll give you your time. But usually it's like, hey, this is my friend and he just came in from Chicago and, you know, he wanted to ask you a few questions. It's like, dude, we're going on now. So, you know, it's a small green room. It's not like this.
I was always impressed that you guys could talk before you went on stage.
Yeah, like, no,
I'm
we
getting
do.
A little
I
bit
do.
Better now, but there was a time there where my temperature changed. I needed a jacket. Really? And I was freezing before I went on stage. And then I'd get off and be like, did I just get cold from the nerves? Wow. And then I'd see these assholes being like, yeah, next week we're going to go. And I'm like, oh, I'm up. Oh, okay. And I'm like, wait.
No, but that's us. I'm talking about like when it's like, you know, people are just like coming in like, you know.
I think it's more.
You know, my cousin's a friend is or whatever. Yeah. And you really just wanted a picture. It's like, yeah, you can do it afterwards. But it's always like right before.
I think there's like a.
Like you don't see that at the Olympics. You know, that's what I was going to say.
I think the Olympics, they stop people from doing meet and greets before their contest.
Yeah, well,
right?
Afterwards, we do the merch. Did you guys, you must have had to do that over the years a million times. We have, you know, you're trying to sell some merch, you know,
this
make some gas money.
This merch is the source. I have skateboard. No, but I mean,
in person, though. In person.
It wasn't really like that for skating. We didn't, you know, we were usually doing our exhibitions at skate shops.
Oh, okay.
So there's merch by default, but it's just more because it was like, especially the early 90s, the tours were like, it's the parking lot of the skate shop.
Yeah.
And here is a jump ramp and a box with PVC coping, and like that's the exhibition.
Mm.
And so it was all pretty minimal. When we started doing big exhibitions, like arena tour type of stuff, then that was, yeah, there was a merch stand, but there we didn't to have be. To man the merch stand.
Okay.
His is the after, you know, when people want to meet you after the show?
Yeah.
His version of that is, I don't think that there's another celebrity, athlete, anybody that faces the bombarding that he gets.
Like, oh, yeah. Well, you haven't seen our merch.
Because it's...
we're out there. We're reading prayers with them. We're doing everything.
But you're actually the host at the merch stand, or is it more...
Oh, yeah, no, we're both out there.
But it's more because so that he can meet you, right? I mean, that's... Yeah,
yeah. Well, I did a show where I talked to everybody, so that's kind of part of my thing.
I saw you with the recorder.
Well, yeah, but years ago, I used to, you know, do shows like that way. But that's part of it. Like, the super fans, you definitely want to give them access, a picture, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes the club won't allow it, but I figured for you guys back in the day, like, you know, you're, like, signing skateboards, you're doing all that kind of stuff, that you were constantly out there, you know?
But his signing thing, when he signs things, it gets... Because skateboarding brings the child out in people. So not only are there children there, but there's also adults that have turned into the child they were.
Sure.
And they just go towards him. And if he disappears and gets crushed by everybody, they're blacked out. They're not who they are anymore. It's like a weird, when people see Tony Hawk, they go, oh my God, Tony Hawk, I did a video game. And they're not who they really are. Wow. They've lost their minds. And if it's 1,000
people? But I would say people are, especially that are parents that used to skate and their kids skate, they have a little bit more, they're more respectful in terms of their approach and things.
Right. Mm.
But I did do this thing where I did sort of a surprise appearance at a skate park to give away tickets to this show that we were skating at.
Mm-hmm.
And I was skating the bowl warming up. This is in San Diego. I think I told you the story. And I missed this kind of basic trick and came down. When it came down, I hit my helmet, but my helmet ended up going up, and then I hit my forehead again.
Uh-huh.
So I split my eyebrow open.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
I was fine.
It's a lot of blood though, right?
But it was a lot of blood. And at some point, all these people started showing up because they heard I was there and I was giving away tickets. And then they started asking for autographs, and I'm trying to make my way out of the skate park. No one acknowledged that there's blood running down my face.
Did anyone try and get a vial? Like, please. No,
there was one girl that was like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so.
Jesus.
And I keep like putting my sleeve on my eye.
Oh man.
So I'm like this, trying to sign stuff, and no one acknowledged it.
That's so weird. Like, you think
it was wild.
If they were fans, they would care that you were okay.
No, but the Tony Hawk is in the building surpasses the blood.
Yeah.
But then I went to a pharmacy straight away. Like, mm-hmm. I went straight to a pharmacy to get the stuff just to close it.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm in line holding it over my eye, like, right? I'm in line and I'm buying, and the guy's like, yo, man, you Tony Hawk? I'm like, uh-huh. Can I get a photo? I'm like...
That's crazy.
Okay.
I've got a gushing head wound. That's fine.
It's kind over of a here. Bonus.
It was like a bad comedy skit.
But nobody went like, he's human blood.
No,
nobody did any of that.
Nope.
I thought he was a cyborg.
No, I had to go. Like, I had to get away from everyone. I had to go in my car and then do my own sort of surgery.
I can only imagine, like, I remember my mom stitching up my knee. Like, you know, she was like, I'm not taking you to the hospital. We're not going to pay for that. So she, like,
old school.
Gets out her needle and thread and does, like, a little
shut shizzle. Up. No,
like, really? You know, yeah. So,
wait, you got Rambo'd?
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Your own stitches?
Your own stitches?
That's Rambo. She's like, basically, like, you shouldn't have been doing that.
No numbing needle, right? Just stitches.
No, I was a little kid. I got a popsicle or something. Put in my mouth.
Man, I got stitches a lot. And one time I told the doctor I didn't want the needle because the needle hurt more than the stitches.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, trust me, you want it. And I was like, I've had a lot of stitches. Just give me the fucking stitches, leave the needle out of it. And they put it in this one side of the meat, and before it went into the other side, I was like, I want the needle. No, I was wrong.
That's a clue, Louis. You look like you know way you're around the cold and flu section of a pharmacy. Go ahead. Something?
I got stitches.
Dry eye? Anything? Dennis elbow? Swimmer's ear.
I had carpal tunnel.
Oh, well, there you go. Today's world, that's, you know, a monument.
I did have that experience when I dislocated my fingers because I went in to the hospital with both of these fingers.
Oh, doesn't that hurt? Oh, that's
and,
terrible.
And
you
the doctor,
right.
I didn't know if they were broken or not. And the doctor, he examined, he's like, oh no, they're not broken. They're just dislocated. He's like, I can put him back in right now. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. And then he starts to do it. I was like, nope, no, that's, we're going to require some sort of painkiller for that. That's
really?
Not, yeah. Because as soon as he started moving it, I was just, there was just no way.
But when you guys were like out, like, you know, like you're like feral young kids and you get hurt like that, would you just do it? Like, you know, like I see it all the time with the guys like, dude, had I, oh man, you broke your leg, man. Yeah, like what happens to that kid?
Had I known that was the case in that instant, I would have done tried to do it right away. But by the time I got to the hospital, they were super swollen and it was just impossible to get her back in place. But
wow.
But yes, I would have. And you know, we're skaters, so we try to avoid hospitals as much as we can.
I figured, yeah.
Because we're trying to keep moving and keep going. And
yeah, no insurance.
And so you tend to be this sort of
the waiting room sucks
renegade
too.
Expert on injuries.
Dr. Yeah. Skateboard.
Hotel and medicine, really, that's what we call it, Tony.
What's that?
Hotel medicine.
Yeah. But also having kids, it's funny because my wife is just like, I don't know, go ask Tony. Go ask your dad. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You're like a skate nurse or like a triage.
Pretty much, yeah. And also, you can put a lot of fears to rest.
Sure.
Because like, no, that's not that infected.
Yeah, my ex-wife.
What about ribs? What do you think?
You don't need
delicious.
Whenever you break a rib, but I know that there's nothing you can do. Unless it's punched in the lung, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
They can't put a cast on it, so there's no point going.
That to me is the most painful thing that no one gives it. Like, no one, like, you know, I think I cracked the ribs. Like, okay. Tell me when it's something real. It's like, it hurts, you can't sleep, and it goes on forever.
If you sneeze, you're in hell. Oh, man. If you laugh, you're in hell.
He was actually more of a chiropractor, but I did break a rib, and it was kind of out of place right here.
Oh, up there.
Up here. I thought it was my collarbone first. But he had this sort of popping pen thing.
Yeah.
And he just did it like three times and popped it back into place.
Whoa,
yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
You need one of those in your skate bag because I don't want to go to see that guy. My shoulders used to come out of the socket all the time, and I had one friend that knew how to put it back in for me.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't around, I'd try to get somebody else to do it, and it would be like a nightmare because I'd go to pull it and they'd let it move and then it wouldn't go back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd be like walking around with it. Like, I'm like, hey man, anybody ever put a shoulder back in? Anybody? And somebody would go, I'll try it. And I like kept giving my hand to people and try to yank my shoulder back in.
I have a separated shoulder and I just got like shoulder surgery. And the guy, I go, maybe while you're in there, you can fix this. Like, cause it was before the real surgery for separated. Mm-hmm. So I was in a sling for like, I think 2 years of my life, you know, like, what? Just like, hey, how'd you look at me, everybody. Shoulder? What?
How did you do it?
We were roughhousing in my mom's house. And like, I guess we had seen something where, hey, let's flip each other and flip me right on a marble table. And my mom was angry that like, you broke my table and now you have a separated shoulder.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, the poor kid, he took like the beating. Like, it's like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want you in my house. Look what you did to my table and my son. I'm in that order. Yeah. You know? But yeah, I was like, oh man, now that you're going back in there, maybe you can fix it. He's like, it's not worth it, buddy. Just like, you know, whatever it is. But I wish I had gotten it taken care of the right way the first time. Because like, you can never make up for it. So.
But you still can like lift your arm and stuff.
I can, yeah.
He was right.
Good high out.
Wait, that's as high as it goes?
No.
Okay.
It's not McCain.
You should have
said. I actually, the guy who did my thing, way better now. Yeah, so there you go.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe they should have done
something. But it's amazing how much the human body can take.
Yeah.
And just like how we really like seem to like, you know, fuck, you know, keep going. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Or just adapt to the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I definitely learned at our age of skating. It's like, all right, this is what, these are the cards we're dealt now.
Yes.
How do we work with this or within these confines or try to explore something else? I mean, like when you say, like, are you getting better?
Yeah.
I'm worse at a bunch of stuff that I used to do, but I'm better at this other stuff because I just figured out, well, this is my new strength.
Mm. And that keeps it interesting to you? Cause
absolutely.
Because to us, it's like it's the getting better that keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's why I'm wondering, you know, so you just find a different avenue.
But I mean, you guys must have to explore not new comedy, but just new subject matter with the sensitivities now.
But that's
we're joke guys. So like for us, like, you know, like writing a joke and seeing it work and then work consistently, that's a big deal in our world. You know, I think he'll back me up, but it's like we talk endlessly about like, why isn't that working anymore? What happened? Was it the crowd? Maybe it wasn't that funny to begin with. So he could take you through it too. It's like, it really is like this kind of like a mental torture that you put yourself sell through for material, you know?
But I like it. I like purposely like push myself. I think like, oh, what haven't I done that I can try and do? And what's a new way to go with it that I haven't done already? And I'm tired of running that kind of joke. I'm going to write this one. And so I'm always trying to push myself. It was Nate Bargatze who turned me on. I don't know if you know him. He's a very
great
funny comic.
Great comic.
But it was like during the pandemic, I started taking Spanish classes and he started playing golf. And he was the one that hit me that like, oh, what we miss from comedy is we feel ourselves getting like even that much better every time. Yeah. But just that's part of the high. It's like, oh, I'm getting a little bit better like all the time.
That's what I tell people all the time. That's the high I've been chasing since I was 11 years old and I did my first new trick.
Cool.
And it was like,
how do you write new jokes in a new writing style when you're still you?
Well, it's not a new writing style. It's like say the first album that I had was like all like dirty jokes. And then I'm like, well, what if I want to try and say something? But maybe there's an idea that I have. It's not even a funny idea, but I just want to talk about this thing. So that's a new thing. You know what I mean? So it's all me. It's just where I can push it. Or maybe I want a theme with the hour. Or maybe I want it to have a narrative. Or I don't want to, you know, or I want to close like this. I don't want to do that kind of joke. All those kinds of things.
When you have an idea, do you ever do the idea on stage and not know the jokes in it yet to find them?
Well, I don't write on stage a lot, but sometimes it's better to not write it out word for word because then it'll come out more naturally. So you have an idea of what you're going to say, and then the words, and then you kind of get there.
But usually you write the jokes.
I'm weird like that. People don't really do it like the way I do it. I sit down and write. I can sit down
and work. There is nothing better than the actual like magic happens where you come up with something on stage, spur of the moment, whatever. And you see me do back and forth, but I think something that's applicable, if I could say it right, to both of it is that there's the performance, and then I always felt like my writing and my performance, like they never were equal. Now I'm kind of old, so they're kind of about the same. And he's seen me for a long, long time, so he could tell you, like, you know, I can hold the room and I could do this, and I'm still trying to come up with these. So I think it's probably in your world too that, like, there were probably a bunch of guys like hot dogs that were like more performance than actual skill. But I, you know, it's always skill wins, I think, in the long game. In the short game, the guy's flashy or like, you know, does like, you know, like
360 burials.
I think you'd have a name that you're like, oh, this guy's really just like smoke, you know, he's not the real steak. So I think in our world too that like you know, performance is key, but writing is really where like, you know, the work is. And these guys, when he brought up Nate, it's a good thing of like anybody can writing a dirty joke is not as hard as writing a clean, really good joke.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that like you can be like, whoa, when somebody tells one and you're like, man, dude, I didn't even think of that. And that's amazing. And there's no F-bombs in there or, you know, holes or poles or anything in there. So
I was wondering, I saw your special and there was like one of those emergency alert went off.
Yeah, on my phone. Yeah.
On your phone?
Yeah, that's my phone.
It happened while I was doing the show.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that was someone broke into my car.
But you just ran and it was like, oh, I got moved up on the kidney donor list, but I'm always curious about that, especially with that or with hecklers. Do you have a couple things in your back pocket?
I mean, there's things that have been said, but I'm going to say it, but it's like, you know, whether we're riffing back and forth, he knows that I'm always looking for the new stuff. So there's a lot of guys who have, they're like, this happens and, you know, nice shirt, whatever. They call it crowd work. And that's become kind of like a subset of comedy now. But back in the day, crowd work was something you did because it was terrible. And like the crowd hated you and you had to do it. And like, you know, it was a knife fight. It was a knife fight. Yeah. And like today's kind of crowd work, I find a little tame. But I can mix it up with the best of them. It's just that, you know, at the end of the day, you can leave going like, well, the biggest laugh I got was when I made fun of that guy's shoes. But all the jokes were like, okay. So in a way, it is kind of like a false high. But yeah, I mean, there's things you could say, things you could do. And like when I'm up there, you know, not that like whatever, I don't want to like freak anyone out, but like I'm thinking about a lot of things going on, not just the jokes. So I'm like watching the room, I'm watching the exits, you know, I'm looking at this guy, is he taping me, this guy has got his phone. So I got a lot of things going on in my head, and I think he'll back you up and say like today's crowds are not really cool with like turning their phones off and just watching something. I mean, it's really difficult for them, you know.
But he's really built for a way, like a truly crowd that doesn't exist anymore. Like he came up with these drunken maniac crowds.
Yes,
right. And now when it's not a good crowd, they're almost like just not engaged.
Yep.
So he's got these like battle tactics that that aren't even like, you don't even need them anymore, but he's still got them. And it's really funny to watch.
An arsenal.
And, and it really is. It's like, it's a mix. It is a mix, though, to answer your question. It's like, so it's not like stock lines, but you like, you've been in this situation before, so you know how to deal with it.
Experience is more what it is.
You know what I mean?
I saw a comic once in Vegas. My sister used to sing backup from Michael Bolton.
Cool.
There's a period piece, but... and this comedian opened up for the Michael Bolton show. So it's a huge venue, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got this routine or whatever. And this dude keeps barking out something in the audience. We can't even hear it. Who knows? And the guy stops. He's like, "Hey, motherfucker, you ruined my timing one more time. We're taking this out to the casino. I'm kicking your ass." And everyone's like, but it was so angry and harsh, Tony, that it was like, oh, this guy sucks.
It killed the vibe, right? The key is, you just got to say that and smile. If you go, "Hey, motherfucker," I'm not even joking. "Hey, motherfucker, you want to do that one more time?" You just can't, you can't break that kind of. He's really good at it. It's like, because you got to be harsh, but that's not too harsh.
When you were saying that, it feels like you have that.
It's a crazy balance.
You don't want to smash him to the ground. You just want to like a gentle slap, you know. Yeah. That's the way I see it. But I've seen guys like where a guy will be like, you know, just moving in the seat, and the guy will go full tilt nuclear on him. Like, he didn't do anything. Let him up, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's so funny, because when you brought up Vegas, I was just there, and it was great. The old Vegas, the old Atlantic City, all these old casino towns, the roughest crowds, sad, losers, drunks, you know, like the Billy Joel song, just like sad characters, you know? And they're just sitting there, and like, you're trying to go. That's kind of like those kind of shows, not so much anymore, you know, not so much. But those are the ones where you kind of build that muscle of like, you know, I'm doing this. They hired me to do it. So for some reason, I must be better at this than you. Yeah. So I'm going to go at it.
It's an interesting angle. Yeah, I always feel like, because I train and I fight and I'm good at it.
Yeah.
And most people in the crowd, I'm pretty sure I could beat their ass. And if you say something smart, there's a part of me, like this thing that I've always tried to be, like a tough guy, that's all bullshit because I'm a terrified little kid. Mm-hmm. But when you puff up, I'm like, man, I could wreck you. But then I know that if I go into that mode, he's not funny at all. That person's like actually kind of terrifying. So that I instantly am, my angle is to be funny, to be like, yeah, maybe I am a raging homo and you've got me, you know, definitely not. Listen, dude, if you want to go outside in the parking lot, we can regulate real quick. I know if I go there, my set is done.
It's just better to diffuse it. I remember I was like, and I don't even really know him, but I was I was smoking weed by Joe Rogan in the Ice House parking lot. And I remember him saying like, you never want to get in a fight with anybody, any kind of street fight. You never do. I'm like, Joe Rogan, saying this dude who like all he does is like train and fight. And I'm like, wow,
respect for him.
You know, like I gotta. All right, that's the move then.
And nobody wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when you win, that's the other thing. If you're good at fighting and the guy's like a big mouth and you knock him out, that's happened to me. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a really mean person, but like I've just felt bad.
Yeah,
I've heard that. Like I'm like, oh, great. Cool. Is he okay? You know, like there's no like. Who else wants some? Like, unless you're like a really mean person, it's a very sad experience.
I've heard that.
Versus most times, you get hit too. Yeah. And it's like even if he lost, you're like, oh, cool. Let me go to the like ER and get some Like, well, can't wait to do that again. Like, no, you can't. It's or the cops come. Like, it's all. It's better to, that's like, hey, man, you're a so-and-so. I'm like, I think I agree. I am. Well, can we leave now?
The world we live in now, too, is also like, you know, the guys working security at clubs. I'm sure you guys know this, too. It's like the actual putting hands on people, you know, even if you're a security guy, you know, back up. Sorry, we need you to leave. That's over because everybody's a lawyer. So you got to be very careful what you do, like with that kind of stuff, with the punch ups and all that kind of stuff.
I think
those days are over now. I think it's all on the web. That's where people are at their meanest.
I don't know how they get away with that on the web, but I'm very
It's kind of ridiculous. But I can see how it would be difficult. You're on stage, right? And you're like, you know, you're working on something that, you know, you're trying to learn something, you're trying to grasp. And like, if somebody says something or whatever, and then like you have this whole other. Basically, there's that other you that wants to handle it, you know? So it's really difficult. Like, most comics don't come from success. You know, it's not like, right. You know, back when I was, a jet pilot, you very rarely hear stories of like,
it's
you know,
been so
let
crushing.
Me tell you about being an astronaut, okay? It's not all shitting in your pants, all right, guys? There's a lot of stuff you got to
I've science. Never been more miserable and felt like such a loser in my whole life. And I feel like every day I get a little bit lower and I blend in a little bit better with everybody at the comedy club.
Well, there you go.
He's like, I slept in my car last night. I'm like, I'm not there yet, but I mean, I'm working for it. Like, soon I'll be sleeping next to you.
That's why we're inviting you guys in, so that he's...
He feels oh, that's cool.
Get a little bit more that. In. He's just, you know, wheezing.
And I think
that, his way
well, you're welcome. I'm doing shows in Brea this week. You're welcome to come on and do a guest set.
Shut
how about
the
that?
Fuck
yeah.
Up. Yeah.
So there you go. Now all you got to do is steal a car and get there.
Yeah.
Or skate. It'll take you hours.
I think that's
how come
our, that's
GPS
our...
doesn't put how long it takes to skate places?
I think that's our good out.
I'll leave
he
now.
Just, he just commit, yeah, I was going to say, he just committed to you.
Yeah, that's an opening. Do it anytime, that's it. Buddy.
Dude,
I'd love you. It.
Sorry, Louis.
Sorry, Louis. It's a tough
okay,
game,
next
man.
Thing,
I'm still on the show. I'm still on the show.
You're right, Tony. It's an audition.
It's
not
how it works.
I'm still on the show.
Okay, I got a lot of stuff planned. I'm doing that joke. Tony's going to stand up, punch me in the
I'm
face.
I'm going to take a shit. I'm staying right next to him. Be like, that's not how it goes.
Brad's not too far from me, so
that we got to do that, dude. Honestly. How cool is that?
I'll see the day.
Don't
right.
play that part of the tape, so it'll be like a huge fucking thing okay. there. We'll do. I know we'll do it at the Capitol. Yeah.
It's the Capitol.
Sometime in January.
Now you know the Capitol.
Let's try, oh, yeah, let's yeah. try and bring some of the fun back.
Yeah, right, I know. That's what that was missing.
Yeah, just a microphone and a stage. That's
yeah,
all
just
they
like,
needed.
Hey, what are all
could
you guys
have
doing?
Everything.
Eric, calm down. He's going to say his line.
The improv insurrection. Hey, thanks you guys for coming.
Thank
thanks
you.
For appreciating
thank
it. That was
you.
Fun.
Thank you so
guys.
Much.
Yeah, make sure you check out thanks. His new special. Hot Cross Buns.
Awesome.
You got to do it. It's real good. He's a genius.
And Louis.
And this asshole is actually really funny, too. I listened
whoa.
To, I checked it out on YouTube on the way here, and I was thank like, you. Check you out.
What's
you're
the name
way
of the
advanced.
It's called Present Tense, and it's on
it's
YouTube.
Awesome.
So check
I've
it out.
Seen it. It's yeah. great.
They're high level.
So thank go you. Click over there.
Thanks, fellas.
I'm going to get out of the way when you come up, Tony.
Okay. Here we go.
Yes! What was that? Did an angel fly over me? What was that?
Awesome.
Okay, now do me from back.